When it's Eton and Harrow, society and cricket mingle.
July 1937. High society had come to Lourdes to watch Eton play Harrow, as reported here by Pathé News.
And as usual, there are top hats and silks.
A month later, one of these players would join a group of cricketers in Berlin in a fixture that's utterly unique. Peter Huntingdon-Whiteley was recruited at short notice by Major Maurice Jewell to take part in a tour to Germany. On a sunny spring day, the man who's written the first full account of that tour, Dan Waddell, visited New Road and explained how his interest was piqued by a book about German cricket.
And in there it mentioned a tour to Nazi Germany in 1937 by the gentlemen of Worcestershire. And I thought, this is something I've got to write about. There has to be a story here.
The gentlemen of Worcestershire touring team was made up of public schoolboys and wealthy gentlemen, five of whom had played first-class cricket. They were too good for the Germans and won all three games. But it's the story of what went on off the pitch that's more interesting.
When Hitler has his 48th birthday, they make a show of it in a big way.
A few months after Adolf Hitler's birthday, Berlin was again bedecked with swastikas and military parades were the norm.
Seasoned with tin helmets, then stirring an earful of military music with plenty of drums.
Ahead of the first match, the gents were asked to give a Nazi salute. As dutiful guests, they obliged. By the time they left, their attitude had changed.
I think if they'd been asked to do that for the final match, they wouldn't have done it, because there is a story that they refused to have their picture taken with a Reichssportsfuhrer at the final match, because their unease had grown to such an extent they thought, if we have our picture taken with him, it's going to be used in all the newspapers, and actually we don't like it here. We've had enough, and we can't wait to get home. When they go into the station on the last night to catch the train back, they were mightily relieved.
If you ask an Englishman what the typical national sport is, his answer would not be football. The answer would be cricket.
It took Dan 5 years to piece together what happened. Surviving relatives were tracked down and dug out old scrapbooks. Meg Freeman's father, Geoffrey Tompkinson, was a member of the team, and he kept this news report from one of the German papers.
It takes a lot of patience to spend a whole day at cricket.
The 12th member of the tour party provides a mystery. Robin Weatherly had no connection at all to Worcestershire or to the gents' cricket team. He even travelled separately. A fluent German speaker, he died a few years later, serving with British Special Forces. Could he have been sent by the Foreign Office as a spy?
There's a very good chance he was sent along by London to keep a close eye on both the gents, what they were up to, what the Germans were up to, and perhaps when he came back, travel to Whitehall to have a chat with somebody.
But the unlikely hero of the book is a German, Felix Menzel, who almost single-handedly kept the game alive and, in 1945, emerged out of the rubble with some equally bedraggled friends to challenge a group of British soldiers to a game of cricket.
There should be a plaque outside his house, because if you've run a cricket team, which I have and I know many people have, it takes some devotion to do that just in normal times. To do it under a barbaric, despotic regime, to do it during war, to rebuild German cricket as he did after the war, takes enormous courage, and they should be very proud of him.
Every member of the Gentlemen of Worcestershire touring team served King and country in the ensuing conflict. But perhaps because they were embarrassed by their trip to pre-war Berlin, those who survived rarely spoke about the tour, and it's only now that the story can be told.